Today we're going to throw another step in our, and remember, it's all about the Word of God. Every time we meet, it's about the Word of God. It's about the message of Jesus Christ. It's about learning or walking further into the Word of life. But this Wide Awake series has been very unique in that each topic that we've dealt with has taken us a little bit closer. How many people got something out of last week? I felt like it was, listen, God's doing some marvelous things for me. Has God done anything for you?
Yes.
I'm telling you, if you'll just follow, He's doing some wonderful things for all of us. Yes. And I'm looking forward to getting some miracles, getting some great moves of God in my life in the next few weeks. Amen. But today the title will be, Rihanna, Stay Ready. Everybody say, Stay Ready. I want to read a verse that may seem a little out of context, but it's really not. 1 John 4:17. 1 John 4:17. This is an important verse. He says, herein is our love made perfect. This is the way our love is made perfect. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Boldness when we stand before Jesus Christ. If you die today, you will stand before Jesus Christ. He's saying we will have boldness in the day of judgment. But this verse, the end part of this verse is so very key for us that are working for Jesus Christ right now. And if you are a Christian, you're working for Jesus Christ. And here it is. Because as He is, so are we in this world. As He is, so are we in this world. As He is, who are we talking about? Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, seated at the right hand of the Father. As He is, so are we in this world, in this world, in this world. So it hit me this week. I started saying, as He is, so am I. As He is, so am I. As He is, so am I. Say that back to me. As He is, again. So when the enemy comes after you, as He is, so am I. I will not be weak. I will not be weary. I will not be downtrodden. I will not lose this battle because as He is, so am I. There you go. You're getting it now. Get that excitement in you knowing that Jesus Christ is on the throne. And when I say as He is, so am I have the power that He has. Why? Because He's my elder brother. And if I'm reading this scripture correctly, if He's got power, I've got some power. If He's got some authority, I've got authority. Why? Because we're joint heirs together with Jesus Christ, what the Bible says. If He's got some glory, I've got some glory. It may not be at that level, but I've got some glory. If He's been seated, if I hear this scripture correctly, if He's seated in heavenly places and seated at the right hand of the Father, I'm seated right with Him. So as He is, so am I. Now you're catching it. As He is,
so am I.
Now, whenever you have a tough time this week, you need to say, devil, you need to hear me. As He is,
so am I.
Just put it right back in His face. Because He can't deal with that message. As He is, so am I. As He is, so am I. As He is, I have that power. I have that authority. I have that ability. It doesn't matter what people say. It matters what God has said. It doesn't matter what treachery is behind it. They could be treacherous and trying to hurt you and damage you. It doesn't really matter as long as God is on your side. He'll turn their evil to your good. The only trick to all this is this. We read the scripture. We talked about being in authority with Christ, and we have the ability that we need. The only thing is this. Even though we possess these things, we possess it. It is ours. Amen? Here's the bad part. No matter what we possess, attacks will come. So anybody tells you become a Christian, everything's going to be okay, they're crazy. Everybody that's living on this earth and drawing breath into their lungs is going to go through some problems. I'm going to go through some troubles. You're going to go through some troubles. The difference is we've got someone to support us through our troubles. Someone to support us through our trials, through our tribulations, through our persecutions. And even the Bible says you're going to be blessed, but that with persecution. So understand, persecution must come, but with it I have a way of escape through Jesus Christ. So even though I walk through these, I'm walking through the with the authority of Christ, attacks are going to come. Don't get caught off guard and say, well, there ain't nothing to this church, there ain't nothing to the Word of God, there ain't nothing to Jesus. That's foolish talk. There's a lot to God. There's a lot to Jesus Christ. There's a lot to the Word of life. I will not throw up my hands and say, I quit. If I throw up my hands, it'll be to say, thank you, Jesus, because you have something far better for me than I've ever seen. Our scriptural basis will come out of Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And I'll read out of the NIV. You can read out of any version you want to read. It's going to say the same thing, just a little bit different way. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, but I'm only going to be reading right now Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. Are you ready? The Apostle Paul is saying something very critical here. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The attacks will come, Gerald, but he said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Now watch. Put on a little bit of the armor of God. Put on the... Are you sure you're reading the right version? He says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The King James says the wiles of the devil. The devil's schemes. You mean the devil's schemes? You better believe it. He doesn't want you to live a victorious life. He doesn't want you to testify and witness of his greatness. He doesn't want you to make it. He don't want you to live the abundant life. Believe me. He said, well, I don't believe in the devil. What did I always say? But he believes in you. He knows who you are. So be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, how many people know struggle isn't just easy? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. I'd say that's pretty heavy. I'd say that's a great conflict. I would say it goes beyond what Alan Meshuggah can deal with. It's going to take Christ in me in order for me to overcome it. Christ in you. The devil just wants to get you, he wants to cut you out of the herd, so to speak, so he can kill you and destroy you. So when I talk about being, as the screen you saw, wide awake and all in, that's the series, wide awake and all in. Being all in means being prepared for resistance. You're getting ready for resistance. If you're going to be great, you're going to get resistance. If you're going to go to college and you're going to get your degrees, you're going to go through some, I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to go through some resistance. There's a learning curve. You've got to learn. And it's not that easy sometimes. Whatever you achieve in life, there's going to come with resistance. So we have to be prepared for resistance, and the battle is real. The warfare is real. But here's the trick, and we'll cover this a little bit more thoroughly. The battle's real, the warfare is real, but so is the armor. But so is the armor. See, the devil doesn't want you to know that. The enemy of your soul doesn't want you to know that. And I am so proud that you're here today. I know it's raining a little bit outside. I assume I got here early. If it's still raining, thank you so much for fighting those rain demons. Here's the deal. You just can't allow, in all this, in our Christian walk, you cannot allow yourself to be caught off guard. That's the way you fall, when you are caught off guard. So, here's a danger in getting caught off guard. A danger. What do you mean? Have you ever been caught in a storm You didn't think it was going to storm, but you get caught out in a storm and you don't have an umbrella. You're going to find out real quick as water drips off your nose that you've made a big mistake. You were not prepared for inclement weather. You were not prepared. Here's the storm. You're not going to change the storm. You just were not prepared with an umbrella to be able to face the storm. Or maybe, just maybe, this is really a real deal. You left your phone at home or in your car or at a shopping center or in the grocery basket at the store, grocery cart, and you realize how dependent you really are on that little bitty square box. How really unprepared you are. I've watched people go, oh my God, what's wrong? Are you having a heart attack? No, I think I've lost my phone. Am I lying? No. Oh, see if I can find it. Oh my God. See if I can find it. Jesus. I don't know if I can breathe. I can't even breathe without my phone. I've got to have my phone. This is not funny. Quit laughing. I want my phone. You know I've heard it. Got to have my phone, man. It's got all my contacts in it. It's got all my life in it. I've heard him say that. It's got all of me in there. You're not prepared to live without that phone. You're not prepared when the storm comes if you don't have an umbrella. And I could go on with that little story. I won't because of the sake of time, but there's a lot of things that you can be unprepared for. Being unprepared always costs something. Mark that down. Being unprepared will cost you something. Let me go on. It'll always cost you something, but spiritually, here's the problem. We know in life being unprepared costs something, but spiritually speaking, the stakes are even higher as God's people. The stakes are even higher in the realm of the Spirit. Because we're not just facing, in the realm of the Spirit, Ray, we're not just facing an inconvenience. We're in battle against forces that won't, watch this, that want to derail our purpose. They want to stop you. Put your name there. They want to stop you from completing and accomplishing your purpose. And everybody here from birth to death has a purpose. But the enemy wants to derail our purpose. He wants to rob our peace. How many of you have had your peace taken away lately? And a lot of it's self-inflicted. You say, but no, it's not self-inflicted. I got bills. Who enjoyed the things that you bought? The purses, the cars, the houses, the animals, whatever you got. Who did that? Did I do it? I didn't do it for you. You did it to yourself. And it's derailing you. My God, I don't know what I'm going to do. No, I don't know what you're going to do either because you did it to yourself. But that's what takes away our joy. It takes away our peace. It takes away our purpose. And it will totally, completely steal any moment of joy you could ever have. Because now you're sitting watching TV going, I can't pay my bill. My wife is mad at me. My husband's mad at me because I bought that whatever. You know I'm telling the truth. The bills, they start dictating your joy and happiness in your marriage even. But don't get rid of them because it'll cost you even more. It'll cost you 50% more. You're going to spend some money. But no... But knowing the battle is real and you're facing these things, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor, not a piece of the armor, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Here's a key. Don't get ready. Stay ready. Woo, there you go. Yeah. Don't get ready. You have to stay ready. Why? Because the battle is real. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Watch this. Principalities. Against powers. Against the rulers of darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. That doesn't sound real good, does it? Paul isn't sugarcoating this story. He's saying, wake up and smell the roses. Life is tough. Your Christian walk, it's difficult. But you can make it. You don't have to fake it. You can make it. So Paul isn't trying to make it sound simple. He's trying to outline for us how we can make it. Our enemy is very invisible. How many people seen Satan lately? No, I'm not talking about you looking at your wife. Forget that. Or your husband. Our enemy is invisible. He's invisible, but his effects are very visible. He may be invisible, but his effects are very visible. How does Satan work? Let's talk about that for a moment. He works through, I'm just going to give a couple points here. He works through something we call, oh, I got a pen. He works through, we got school teachers here, so I can act like I'm on a. He works through this thing called discouragement. He disses your courage. He disses your courage. He works through discouragement. Here we find in Nehemiah 4:10-11, we find that the people of God under Nehemiah, they're trying to build the wall in the holy city. But the people get tired. How many people know people get tired? People get tired, and they got tired of rebuilding the wall. Look at this, Nehemiah 4:10. Show you how it works. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is given out. We're wore out. Man, we can't do this anymore. We're wore out. The strength of the laborers is given out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. There's so much stuff we got to pick up. So much stuff we got to move. Now watch this. Then they say, also our enemies said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and we will kill them and put an end to their work. Talk about discouragement. There it is right there. So he works through discouragement. Maybe you're doing something for the Lord or doing something for your life, and he comes along and tells you how bad you are and how you can't accomplish it and how you're going to fail, how you're going to stumble. You're not going to, you just, everything you've tried to do is going to be frustrated. Has anybody felt that way? That everything you try to do is going to be frustrated. I felt that way lately. You know, you start dealing with the lawyers. And I'm going to tell you, lawyers are a rare breed. I know we got a couple of lawyers in here. We walked into a lawyer's office the other day. My wife set her purse down on the chair in the front of the office. We were going to go back and meet in the conference room. And we walked, and I said, baby, I said, pick up your purse. We're in a lawyer's office. I said, we're in a lawyer's office. They'll take it. It's a joy to be in a lawyer's office. It really is. I sharpened my sermon as I was in there. All I could hear was this music. Doo-doo, 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 doo-doo. What do you mean? Big shark. But you learn a lot. He loves you to get distracted. If he can get distraction, get you distracted, he will destroy you. I want to show you a little story. Luke 10:38. So Mary and Martha. I believe that was Lazarus' kinfolk. Now watch this. Martha was distracted. Luke 10:38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet. What was she thinking? She sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had to say. But Martha was distracted. I'm reading from the NIV. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. I've got to cook. I've got to sew. I've got to get the cleanup. I've got to get the napkins. I've got to get the... She was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Jesus and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Watch this. He said, Martha, Martha. Double verification. That meant Jesus meant what he was about to say. Martha, Martha. Samuel, Samuel. Go down the Bible. Whenever you see him say it twice, he means business. Martha, Martha. The Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. What Mary is doing is more important than what you are doing, because you are working to try to develop an ambiance and a place where we can eat, but she is serving me. She's blessing me. So Martha was distracted from the real king of the honored guest, Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, dentists used to distract me. Dentists, how many people like to go to the dentist? I know you love it because you like the drugs. Anyway, I used to go to the dentist, and the dentist would just, I hated the dentist, Collis. And all of a sudden, he's working in my mouth, and he'd do things to distract me. I mean, just do little things to distract me, grab my arm or show me something on TV or bring some toys in or whatever he wanted to do to distract me. It never worked. Because I didn't want him messing around with my mouth. Because it hurt. But distraction is the name of the game. If you can distract an animal, you can take it. Amen? You have, in all this, you have to be ready. Why? Because your day of contest is coming. You may have not seen it, but it's coming. Say, I don't know when, I don't know how, but it's coming. You say, I don't believe that, Bishop. I'm a man of one woman of faith. I've got such great faith. It doesn't matter. Do you think you're greater than Jesus? He was put under pressure. Have you ever thought about people that are boxers? They don't just go into the ring without training. I'm a boxer, and never get into the ring with training. They, in all their training, they know their opponent is going to study their weaknesses. Now, just understand that. They're going to know, just like a football team, they study the tapes to see where the weaknesses are on the other side. In that same way, the enemy of our soul studies you. He knows you. He knows you better than you know you. He knows where or when or how you get tired. And let me tell you, when you get tired, here he comes. He knows when you're lonely. Oh, man, that's a big one. I'm so lonely. She's the only one that ever gives me any attention. He's the only one that understands me. And that's going to get you in big trouble. Things, doors will start to open for you that you don't want. Negative things will start to happen. Now watch. So we understand that he understands when we're tired. He understands when we're lonely. Oh, we feel overlooked. Nobody cares about me. I'm just, you know, nobody cares about me. Have you said that before? Nobody worries about me. Nobody cares about me. I'm just a dishwasher around here. I'm just a cook around here. I'm just a cleaner around here. But you're much more than that. You can't let the enemy talk to you like that. Amen. You can't let him destroy you like that. I feel so overlooked. And all those things I just mentioned, that's where he's going to attack you. He's going to swing at those things. You wonder why he's attacking you? Look at what you're thinking about. Look at what you're worried about. Because the thing you're worried about is where he's going to attack you. I'm not even worried. Are you worried about money? Not anymore. It's all gone now. Everything I had's gone. I just confess that it is gone. So I said, Lord, I don't even care anymore. I told my wife, I said, look, it don't matter to me. If somebody wants to take everything I got, let them go. I'll just start rebuilding. I'll just start rebuilding. I am not going to allow myself to be destroyed or to get unhappy. I'm too old for that stuff. And you are too. You deserve the right to stay and remain happy. So the enemy is real. He knows how to get to you, Jezlene. He knows. His tactics are strategic. But our armor is out of this world, and our armor is real. Mark that down. What he's got's real, but what we got's real, and it's even better. Amen? I'm almost through. Another hour or two. Our armor, say this back to me, our armor is real. So I look at Ephesians again, 6:13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that you may, when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done all, after you have done everything to stand, keep on standing. That'll wear you out. After you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth, buckle around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Paul outlines the armor of God. That's what he's doing there. He outlines the armor of God. And it's not a metaphorical speech. It's real. It's not metaphorical. It's not a metaphorical pep talk. He's talking about something that's real. He's not talking about survival. He's talking about revival. He's talking about transformation. He's talking about a strategy that you have to live by. Okay? What do you mean? Let's just cover it quickly. Belt of truth. The belt of truth. What does the belt do? For you men, holds your beer belly in. It'll hold all the tools. You're right. Belt of truth holds everything together. Thank you, Floyd. You held me together there. The belt of truth holds everything together. And everything that you need is on that belt. Now watch this. In a world full of lies, truth keeps you from falling apart. You have to have truth. How many people like truth? Remember the movie, You Can't Handle the Truth? Remember that? The line in that movie? Truth is, though, I need truth. I can deal with truth. Lies I can't deal with. If you don't love me, tell me. I can deal with that. But don't tell me you love me and then around my back treat me bad. Can't deal with that. So, in a world full of lies, it is truth that keeps things from falling apart. Let's go on. Breastplate of righteousness. I'm covered with the breastplate of righteousness. It protects your heart and your integrity. Because if your heart, you fail in your heart, you failed. But the breastplate of righteousness protects your heart and your integrity. And I'm going to tell you, it's like when the people that purchased our church, I had made a promise that I would take care of certain things before they purchased, as is. And because Pastor Mike was in communication with them. Matter of fact, they're going to be contacting me. They want me to be there for their opening day. I might just take it over again. Who knows? But that, I'm telling you, that's what they said. Isn't that what they said? They want me to be there for opening day. They have two opening days. And so, anyway, I love what they said about us because I could have beat them out of something. I could have beat them out of about right at $60,000. But I told Mike, I said, I'm not going to do that. I will not do that because my integrity, my word is more important than that. $60,000. And what did they say after we did it? What did they say, Mike?
They said, "We appreciate your honesty and your integrity in dealing with us."
Did you hear that? Your honesty and your integrity. That to me is more valuable than anything in the world. If you don't have your integrity, you have nothing. You don't have anything. I'm almost through. I'm really not. Shoes of peace. Shoes of peace. What does that do? It gives me stability no matter the terrain. I can be at peace no matter where I'm standing. I can be in the storm. I can be in no matter what. I can be in battle. But as long as I've got on the shoes of peace, I am comfortable. How about the shield of faith? It blocks flaming arrows. Remember that? The arrows of the enemy. It blocks flaming arrows of doubt, fear, and temptation. Y'all need to hear this because I'm going to have a little homework. Arrows of doubt, fear, and temptation. Helmet of salvation guards your mind from hopelessness. Have you ever felt hopeless before? I have. I'm not one of them preachers that says, "I've never felt nothing. Praise God." No, I felt it all. And I know how tough it can be. And don't worry about that. That's cool. He's just a child. And let him cry. Doesn't bother me. Helmet of salvation guards your mind from hopelessness. And the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. It's your only offensive weapon. The Word of God is it. It's your M14, M whatever. It's your bayonet. It's your sword. I mean, that's the only weapon you've got. Everything else is defensive. That's the only offense you have is the Word of God. Now, hear this. We don't need our armor close by or on standby. I don't need my armor close by or on standby. We need it all the time, all the time. Where's Frank? Is Frank in here? There you are. Frank used to work for the police department back when they rode horses. I mean, way back when they used to call him Mr. Dillon. Anyway, I'll guarantee you if they ever got in a shootout, and they're in a shootout, they say, "Excuse me, y'all, hold on. Hold the shootout. We got to go back to the office, back to the precinct, and we got to get our gear on. We got to get our bulletproof vest on and all that stuff. So y'all just hold on. We'll be back in a minute, and then we'll proceed, okay? You got it? Yeah, okay, thank you." No, come on. They don't go out into the field unless they have their gear on. Is that right, Frank? They've got the gear on. Why? We hope to God they never need it. But they wear it just in case they need it. But I'm going to tell you, as Christians, you better have it because you're going to need it. A police officer needs that. They need their bulletproof vest. They need their shields. They wear it before they ever leave the precinct. Matter of fact, some of them leave before they leave their house, they've got it on. What do you mean by that, Bishop? Don't wait until temptation hits you to look for your Bible. I'm tempted. Hey, bring my Bible. Here comes Steve again. Bring my Bible. Here comes Brenda. Bring my Bible. Here comes Mike. Bring my... No. I want to be prepared before. I want to fill myself with the Word of God before the attack. How do I do that? Ephesians 6:18. My posture... I'm going to be postured in ready mode. Everybody say ready mode. Ready mode. Praying Ephesians 6:18. Praying always. Not sometimes. Praying always. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Not only praying for yourself, but pray for everybody. Prayer is not an afterthought. Say that back to me. It's a part of your readiness. Don't be embarrassed about it. When you drive your car, talk to the Lord. When you take a shower, talk to the Lord. When you're cooking your food, talk to the Lord. You say, "Well, I don't know if he's even listening." Trust me when I tell you, I have studied near-death experiences. That's one thing I study. Every day I'm in some case of studying near-death experiences. And I want to tell you, the one thing that heaven hears is prayers. It matters not. It's prayers that move the throne of God. They're listening to those prayers. That's from people that's died for, been dead for an hour, 2 hours, and come back, and they talk about the prayers. They can see the prayers coming up as light. And we forget that. We forget that it's real, that God listens. Amen? So what we've got to do is offer up the prayers, the praise, and not forget that, because the enemy wants you to forget. He don't want you to pray when he attacks. He really doesn't. He wants you to forget the name of Jesus. I'm almost through. I appreciate y'all being so kind to listen to me today. But where else are you going to listen to? Prayer sharpens your spiritual reflexes. Prayer sharpens your spiritual reflexes. You move better. It causes you to be proactive instead of reactive. Proactive instead of reactive. How many people know being proactive is a good thing? I don't want to react. I want to be proactive. Or we could be like, well, let's just look. The United States Coast Guard, does anybody know their motto? Look at Butch. Do you know the motto? I'll tell you. Is anybody in the Coast Guard?
No.
Anybody want to be in the Coast Guard? I'll sign you up right now. No, no. Their motto is Semper Paratus. What does that mean? Always ready. Always ready. Now, think about it. They don't scramble to learn how to swim when somebody gives a distress call. Well, you know what? I think we better learn how to swim. We've got Jimmy Gross over there that's drowning. Come on, boys. Let's go practice a little bit on swimming, because I think I'm a little out of... If they do that, you're going to drown while they're practicing. They train daily so readiness becomes second nature. I mean, could you imagine a lifeguard sitting on the beach and, Brother O'Day, you're out there swimming, enjoying yourself, you're the shark that you are, enjoying the life of the water. You're just swimming, and all of a sudden you need help. Help, I'm drowning. And the lifeguard stand up and say, hold on. I'll be there in a few weeks. I'm going to have to go train just a little bit. I don't need you in 2 weeks. I need you right now. Can you imagine a surgeon coming in on an emergency surgery and saying, you know what, I'll get to you in a couple of weeks. I got to go practice this technique. I don't need you 2 weeks from now. I prayed this prayer one time. I was preaching downtown at the Civic Center, the Atlanta Civic Center. I had a crusade down there called Victory Crusade. And I had all these people. I announced that anybody sick, bring them out. I'm going to pray for them. And so we're out there. Some of y'all may remember that. And I'm out there, boy. I'm singing the choir. We were knocking it out. And I looked, and here comes a woman. The first person I'm going to pray for. She comes in a walker, can't even walk. I said, now, Jesus, this is me and Jesus talking. I said, now, Jesus, if you don't help me today, I won't need you tomorrow. That's what I said to the Lord. If you don't help me right now, I won't need you tomorrow. Sure enough, she came up there and got prayed for, and there was the walker gone. But who said that? Oh, thank you. I mean, just like Deborah, I can't remember what you told me to call you. She wrote me and told me not to call her something.
I told you not to call me Debbie.
Oh, Debbie. She wants to be called Deborah. I can't remember. I can't remember names. I don't even know that woman that's with Larry. Anyway, she came on a Wednesday night. I remember it like it was yesterday. And prayed, and I remember praying where we stood. Prayed for her. She was in that wheelchair. And, buddy, let me tell you, God smacked her, got a hold of her, and she walked out of there without a wheelchair.
Amen.
And that's just what God did. You said, I don't believe that. I don't care what you believe. That happened. And there's people that sitting here today that saw it happen. It's reality. I'm almost through, Butch. Just calm down. Spiritually, the more we pray, worship, and meditate on the Word, the more spiritual readiness becomes second nature. Now, let's get to the real deal. Questions you need to ask yourself. Where am I most vulnerable? Where am I most vulnerable to discouragement or to distraction? You need to write that down. Ask yourself that this week. Where is it? Because you know what it is. You've already figured it out. Where am I most vulnerable to discouragement or distraction? Then ask yourself, what helps me stay grounded in truth? You need to start asking yourself that and then answer it. Spiritual readiness beats spiritual reactivity. Spiritual readiness beats spiritual reactivity. This week, I want you to choose a piece of the armor for each day. This is your Sunday school lesson. Monday, think about the belt of truth. Think about it. Write it down. Tuesday, the breastplate of righteousness. Wednesday, the shoes of peace. Thursday, the shield of faith. Friday, the helmet of salvation. Saturday, the sword of the Spirit. And then when we hit Sunday, it'll be pray in the Spirit. We'll be ready to go. And you say, well, why would you want us to do that? Because the enemy can't win if you know this stuff. He can't win. In closing, let me make these remarks. God doesn't just call you to the fight, because we're in one. God doesn't just call you, sissy, to the fight. He equips you for it. The battle is real. The battle is real. The battle is real, but so is the armor. So don't just get ready, stay ready. As a closing thought, there was a man years ago in the Midwest, they experienced a surprise blizzard. Something like we had a few years ago on a December. Y'all remember that one? Oh, it's not going to amount to nothing. And I looked out on my deck and it had that much snow on the railing. It shut down where I live for three. I didn't have power for 3 days. But it wasn't going to amount to nothing. I'm sitting out the window going, they say this ain't going to amount to nothing with flakes that big. I even called Mike. He said, ain't nothing going to come of it. Won't stick. But let me tell you something. When I looked out and I couldn't see no lights and lights were going off all the way, I said, oh, my goodness. Well, that's just what happened here. They have this blizzard in the Midwest. It was unexpected. The forecast said light flurries. Same thing happened to us. Light flurries. So most people left their house that morning with little or no clothes on. I mean, they weren't ready for it. But one old farmer, leave it to a farmer, one old farmer came to town bundled up in full winter gear, thick coat, boots, gloves, and scarf. Someone started to laugh at him. Look at that old timer. He don't know what he's doing. You're sure overdressed for the weather, old man. The farmer just smiled and said, watch this. The farmer just smiled and said, son, I learned a long time ago, I'd rather be ready and not need it than need it and not be ready. Yeah. Hours later, the snowstorm intensified. Roads were closed, and snow was up to everybody's knee. And everybody's scrambling for coats and blankets and everything to keep them warm. But it was too late because they were not prepared.